There are probably very few, if any of us, who can claim to have absolutely no fears in their lives. Now, many of those fears never come to anything. I think it was Winston Churchill who once commented that he'd had lots of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. And sometimes the same is true of our fears. Sometimes the same thing could be said of our fears. Often our fears are small things. Things that don't really cause us any great problems. It might be the spider scurrying about in the bath or the mouse that nips across the kitchen floor, something that's not too major. But of course, there are other times when our fears are much more serious. When those fears press in on us, they cause us stress, they cause us anxiety, we lose sleep over them. And then there are those fears which come gate-crashing into our lives. Fears which are totally unexpected, absolutely uninvited, and they're generally fears over which we have no control whatsoever. And if you've watched some of this week's headlines, maybe some of those headlines have generated that sense of fear in you as we have watched the terrifyingly quick and ruthless advance of the Taliban through Afghanistan, creating fears not only for that country, but for further afield. Then there was that UN report on climate change. And the evidence that we see all around us in these catastrophic wildfires, devastating floods around the world, and we fear for the sort of world that we will pass on to our children and our grandchildren. It could be the daily COVID figures, which don't make good reading, and we fear what happens there. Many of our young people this week have received their exam grades. Some are left fearful of what the future holds for them. There have been so many headlines. A horrific mass shooting. A horrendous earthquake in Haiti. And the list goes on. But many of the fears that you and I experience will never ever make the headlines. The dread of waiting for a diagnosis or for treatment, whether it's for ourselves or for a loved one. Many people around us have real fears about getting back to normal when COVID infections remain high. Sometimes jobs are insecure. People are left fearful of the future. How will they cope? Maybe it's that relationship in our lives which is strained, possibly to breaking point, and we fear how it's going to turn out. These are all real fears. They will never make the headlines, but they're genuine fears, and the list could go on, and we could all write our own lists. And even starting to think of such a list might fill you with dread. So what do we do? What do we do when we're filled with fear? Where do we go with our fears? Well, during this pandemic and in many other fearful times, God's people have turned to the Psalms for help and have not been disappointed. A few minutes ago, May read for us Psalm 91. And the writer of that psalm helps us to find a way not to avoid fear, not to pretend that it isn't real, but to prevent it from paralyzing us. This psalm points to the security of those who put their trust in God, the God whom we worship. To begin with, in this psalm, we are shown the very character of the God whom we serve, and that is so important that we focus on who God is. Now, I have to confess, I'm not really into football, but even I have heard of Lionel Messi, and even I know something of his skill and flair as a footballer, and I was listening during the week to some commentators just discussing the difference he will make to his new team of Paris Saint-Germain. The hope is that he will inject confidence into that team. And I listened to one commentator who, slightly tongue-in-cheek, suggested that they would win absolutely everything in front of them. And if that was the case, then they should also enter the French presidential election and the Eurovision Song Contest, because they were certain to win. And all this is possible because one man is now on their side. Now, if it can make such a difference to have a footballer on your side, how much more of a difference will it make to us to know that, as the Bible says, God is for us? So the psalmist starts off by reminding us who God is. God is the Most High, the Almighty, the all-ruling God. He is sovereign over all. And because he's all of these things and much more, he's both shelter and shadow. He is the one, he's the only one who offers us real protection, real refreshment. He is the mighty God. And the psalmist uses pictures of a refuge and a fortress, pictures of strength and security to help us understand this. This is the God who is both able and willing to deliver us. Knowing his character, knowing what God is like, helps to set us free from our fears. And if we want to know what God is like, well, we're not left guessing or coming up with our own ideas, for we are blessed to have God's word. And as we read the Bible, as we allow the Holy Spirit to light up its pages for us, we start to see more and more of the character of God. But most of all, we see what God is like when we look at Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews says, "The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." So the old chorus gets it just right. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And most surely our fears are among those things of earth. So the psalmist paints these wonderful pictures for us of the character of God to help us remember who God is and to know that he is for us. And because of that, fear does not need to rule our lives. Then the psalmist goes on to remind us that this God watches over us. This God protects us. This mighty God doesn't stay distant from us, remote from us. He actively watches over us and protects us. So we read in the psalm of being saved from a snare or from deadly pestilence, both things which by their nature are unseen and unexpected. This is the God who will cover you with his feathers, shelter you under his wings. Now, if the refuge and the fortress were pictures of strength and security, then feathers and wings are pictures that speak of tenderness, a determined tenderness. This is the God who holds our tears in a bottle. The God who has even numbered the hairs on our head. The God who knows and cares deeply for us. And yet we live in the real world. And even though we've heard many of these promises, we also know some of the terrors that can strike us at any time. So what is going on? Does God make these promises and then can't keep them? Or maybe the issue is your faith. Your faith isn't strong enough. If your faith was stronger, you would not experience your fear. And to believe either of these things will crush us. If we believe that God will make promises but not keep them, it's going to crush us. If we believe that it's all my fault, it's all your fault, your faith isn't strong enough, if only your faith were stronger, you wouldn't experience these things. That will crush you. Nothing in the Bible suggests that only godless or spiritually immature people experience fear. And if we start to think in that way, then we're going to add guilt and shame on top of the fears that we already have. It's interesting that the psalmist, Psalm 56, says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." He doesn't say, "If I am afraid," or "on that occasional time when I might be afraid." The psalmist recognizes his fears. "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." In a dangerous world, we do not have to be terrified. But this isn't a call to irresponsibly live. It's not a call to put ourselves into danger deliberately, to ignore danger. It's a reminder that we are never alone, and in God we are secure. Now, apparently the Bible contains the command, "Don't be afraid," or "do not fear," over 360 times. And it's almost always accompanied by the reassurance or promise of God's presence. So, for example, again, the psalmist writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." It's hard to imagine a more fearful place. And why does he fear no evil? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Fear no evil because God is with you. Paul in the New Testament asks the question, "Shall peril or sword separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he answers his own question. "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." This Psalm 91 is a word of reassurance to God's people, which helps to set us free from fear. We can nurse our fears, our anxieties, our worries. We can rail against them. We can be crushed by them. Or we can learn to cast them onto the shoulders and heart of our Heavenly Father. We can shift our focus off our fears and onto our Heavenly Father, whose love endures forever. We can learn to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. John Newton, the slave trader who was wonderfully saved and then gave us some marvelous hymns, put it this way: "How unspeakably wonderful it is to know that all our concerns are held in those hands which bled for us. How unspeakably wonderful it is to know that all our concerns are held in those hands which bled for us." We often sing the children's song, "Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands." And because it's a children's song, often we don't pay much attention to it, but it's great theology. And it's the basic message of this Psalm 91. We have a great big God who is the Most High, who is Almighty, who is the refuge, who is the fortress, and he holds us in his hand, and in his hand we are secure. Now, God may not give us the certain guarantees that we would love to have. He may not deliver us out of trouble in line with our timetable. He may not answer all of our requests with an immediate yes, but he does give us grace upon grace and that peace which is beyond our understanding. And it is in those times that we come to realize that God's presence in trouble is far better than the absence of trouble without God. The psalm reminds us, too, that God hears our prayers and our cries. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And so the Bible encourages us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen to this, in the midst of all those things, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And yet we are so slow to pray. We've remembered the greatness of God. We've recalled his protection over us, his care for us. And yet we are slow to turn to him in prayer. We try everything else. We try to sort things out by ourselves. And when that doesn't work, when we get to the end of our tether, then we pray, we cry out to God. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. When righteous people pray righteous prayers, things happen. The prayers of God's people are powerful. Not because we're powerful. Not because we use powerful words. It is because the God to whom we pray is all-powerful. And that's why the psalmist helps us to remember who God is. Our prayers are effective not because we're special or use special words, but only because the God to whom we pray delights to answer when we call upon him. So if knowing who God is and realizing his care for you, you want to pray prayers that are powerful and effective, especially in times of fear, how do you do that? Well, first of all, these are the prayers of someone who is righteous, someone who is in that right relationship with God. That doesn't come through head knowledge or just wishing it would happen. That right relationship is created when through faith in Jesus, you've been forgiven and accepted as a loved child of God. That relationship changes how you pray. Because you're praying not to someone who is all-powerful and yet remote and unaware of what goes on in your life. You are praying to your Heavenly Father, who loves you with a love that will not let you go, and who has forgiven you in Jesus. And when you know that because of Jesus you are a child of God, then the ultimate fear is gone. No longer do we fear what lies ahead. Instead, trusting in Jesus, we look forward to that time when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Psalm 91, this psalm before us, is a portrait of someone who, in the face of uncertainty and chaos around him, walks in faith and not in fear. May God give us the grace to see something of his glory and then secure in him to walk in faith. We're going to pray together and then stand together to sing once more. Father in heaven, we bring to you the things which cause us to fear. And as we remember them and name them before you, we thank you that your love is greater than our fears, that your perfect love casts out all fear. And so, Lord, may that be our experience this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood, faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.